This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. I'm so glad you're able to join me today as we continue our series on The Cross is Enough. 1 John 4 and verse 10. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Christ paid the price at the cross, and this is why we can face the future with certainty. This is why we have hope. This is why we can rest in His goodness. Psalm 49:8-9. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever that they should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. The only reason why we won't go to hell, as I said yesterday, is because Christ went to the cross. You see, His sacrifice purchased our redemption. Psalm 111 verse 9. It was a costly redemption. Psalm 111 verse 9. He provided redemption for His people. He ordained His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. And the New Living Version. He has paid a full ransom for His people. He has guaranteed His covenant with them forever. What a holy, awe-inspiring name He has. Think about it. He paid a full ransom. He didn't buy us at bargain basement prices, even though we had no worth or value. He paid for us with His own blood. You see, to redeem means to buy back. Christ has sacrificed to pay our ransom. Matthew 16, verse 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, the cross was a place of sacrifice and calls us to a life of sacrifice. No one will be able to point his finger in eternity in God and say, "I didn't understand what you expected of me." Nor say, "God, you asked me to do something you weren't willing to do yourself." For Christ invites us to follow and serve Him. And the journey starts at the cross. And sadly, for some, the journey ends at the cross. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 22. Now, as He was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before Him and asked Him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Or more accurately, you could say great possessions had him. Those who preach a Christianity without cost or cross are in darkness and error. Our walk with Christ is not all blessings and ease. At times, it's a tough path, but it's the only one that terminates in heaven. You see, there is a cost to the call. There is a cost to the cross. C.S. Lewis. It costs God nothing, so far as we know, to create nice things, but to convert rebellious wills cost Him crucifixion. And so we must recognize that the Son of God was sacrificed and a great price was paid. I would like us to look at John chapter 18, and I'm going to read here from verse 28 to 40. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, so that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If you were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who's of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to him, I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews? They all cried again, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, Behold, I'm bringing him out to you, that you might know I find no fault in him. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, Behold the man. Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said, You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered, We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went out into the praetorium and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus answered, You could have no power at all against me, unless it was given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat him down in the judgment seat at the place that is called Praetorium, at the pavement, which is in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered him to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And so I know this is quite a lengthy passage, but there's a number of things that are quite ironic. I find it ironic that Pilate asks, Quid est veritas? What is truth? While looking him, who is truth itself, in the eye. And in many respects, I think that describes our generation. We have the truth literally in front of us, and yet, in many instances, completely blind to that truth. The other thing I find ironic is that the Pharisees were determined to celebrate the Passover feast while at the very same time rejecting God's Passover lamb. None so deaf as those that will not hear, none so blind as those that will not see. Matthew Henry, 1662-1714. This is the irony. They wanted to celebrate the symbol and yet reject the one the feast symbolized. Many believers today are guilty of doing the very same thing, of faithfully observing the ceremony or the season while forgetting the actual message or lesson that the ceremony contains, of embracing the ritual and yet rejecting the principle, of straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. They kept the feast and yet missed the point completely, like those that observe Easter and yet live like Jesus does not live. Does the way you live cause others to reconsider that Jesus lives? Or does it simply serve to confirm their doubts, prejudices, and worst expectations about Christianity? I want my life to make people doubt their doubts and turn in faith to him. John 19:5, Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to him, Behold the man. Even a hardened, cynical Roman governor was moved to cry out, Behold the man. I.e., can't you see him in his suffering? Is this not enough for you? Just look at him or behold him. And it's my hope that this series will help every one of us to once again behold him, to behold his love, behold his sacrifice, behold his courage and compassion, to see Christ and the cross clearly. Because if you get this, it changes everything. And until you do, it changes nothing. And so I just pray today that, Lord, you would open our eyes to behold the Lamb, to behold Jesus Christ, our Savior. Open our eyes to Christ and the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here on UCB Ireland as we continue our series on The Cross Is Enough.